Good morning. It's Wednesday, April 23rd, and this is a special edition of Centennial College Radio News. I'm Abby Crosby. I'm here with Simone Castello and Dave Bowden, and this morning we've all got something to rant about. A souped-up, sporty-looking car passed me on the Danforth the other day. It was your usual pimped-out ride. The male driver was blasting the usual bass-heavy tunes that you can feel vibrating through your body from the sidewalk. And I had my usual reaction, which was, wow, someone's overcompensating for something. Then I noticed what was painted on the side of the car. It said, "Born to Street Race." I felt like taking a baseball bat to his dual exhaust pipes. I don't get street racing. I don't get how anyone could be that reckless, and I don't get the laws against it. The Ontario government started cracking down last fall. Drivers can now have their car impounded and their license revoked for 7 days. 7 days. Big deal. Things are a lot more harsh if you get caught a second time, but why should street racers get a second chance? David Virgo was killed last year when he swerved to avoid two racing cars. Pretty sure he didn't get a second chance. Neither did the 33 other people who've been killed in the last 6 years in Ontario because of street racing. Licenses should be revoked for good after the first offense. Let's not give them a second go at killing someone. Now over to Simone.
Thanks, Abby. Over the past few years, I've noticed that a lot of people I know have moved to countries such as Korea, China, and Japan in an effort to make some money. I thought it was strange at first because they all followed the same pattern. They worked hard to complete their degrees, collected huge debts with student loans, and soon after graduation, they packed their bags and headed east. They all said they were going there for the same reason, to teach English and make some money. But I think there's another factor. Getting a teaching job abroad gives young adults a chance to explore the world and how it functions without hurting their bank accounts too much. Every one of my friends who has taught abroad has had a chance to visit more countries in a matter of months than I have in my entire life. It's a sense of emancipation without the trouble of looking for a job, finding a place to live, and forking up money for a plane ticket. All of that is usually taken care of by the agency. The main important factor is learning to survive in a part of the world where the only thing that's vaguely familiar is your face when you look into the mirror. Still, it seems that in this case, the rewards outweigh the negatives by a long shot. This is the first step that most people take in an effort to become a global citizen. That's all from me. We'll hear from Dave after this short commercial.
My husband is a couch potato. In 14 years, he's worn out 3 recliners. Can't remember our anniversary, but he's got the TV schedule memorized. One time, I took the batteries out of his remote control, and he called 911. Last week, he came home from work, plops down on his recliner, throws it into liftoff position, and tells me that his boss is giving a dinner party and we're supposed to bring dessert. So I said, "Great, what are you gonna make?" That brought him to his feet. He goes, "Gee, honey, I thought you were gonna make your famous strawberry shortcake." "Think again," I said, "he's your boss. You cook something." He was smarter than I thought. Went to Winn-Dixie Deli Bakery and picked up a cheesecake. Well, his boss's wife raved over it, so he says, "Thank you, I made it from scratch." Then she asked for the recipe.
Well, Hillary Clinton won the Pennsylvania primary last night and kept her bid for the Democratic nomination alive. Now, many people are asking, could this be the start of a comeback? Or is she just delaying the inevitable? Unfortunately for Clinton, the people asking these questions have not done the electoral math. Those who have done the math know that it's all but impossible for Clinton to catch up to her rival Barack Obama in either the popular vote or the delegate count. Which begs the question, with her chances so slim, why is Clinton staying in the race at all? Well, probably because the melee that is the Electoral College system, Hillary could still win the nomination without actually winning the popular vote or the delegate count. It could all come down to the so-called superdelegates, who have a vote for the nomination, despite the fact that they don't represent any Democrats. Clinton's plan is to convince these party heavyweights that only she can beat John McCain in November. No matter how down and out she may seem, the Clintons believe they have the political prowess to claw back. But should they? For Clinton to win, she'll have to usurp the democratic process and entrust a small group of party elders to hand her the nomination. The whole thing evokes an image of smoky backroom politics that should have gone out with Nixon. So, just as Barack Obama continues to declare, "Yes, we can," Hillary Clinton will continue to believe that she can too, no matter what it takes. And now, back to Abby.
Thanks, Dave. That's it for our morning rant. You can hear more in about 30 minutes on the web at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.